Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Before we get into today's topic, you know I often have a question and I literally want an answer. I don't want you to answer in your car where I don't hear you. Well, if you're driving, I suppose you should answer in your car, but if you can pull over or if you're in a place where you can text in, here's my question for you. What in you or in your life needs healing? It could be anything, mental, emotional, vocational, relational, financially. I just want to know, if there's an area that's most prominent in your life that needs healing, what would you say it is? Maybe you have multiple areas you can sure share, but what in you, in your life, in your story, most needs healing? Can you text me 877-933-2484? You hear me say this often on the show, every step towards health and healing matters. Every step. And you hear people say, I wish there was something I could do, but there's nothing I can do. That's just never true. There's always something you can do. And every step towards healing matters. If you listen often enough, you know every month we have our good friend, Dr. Troy Sproul, on the show to talk about health in the healing process. So our text line is open with your questions, and we already have our overachievers who texted in before the show even started, so we're going to give priority to those questions. If you've got questions on health and the healing process, go ahead and text those in as well. This is why you should have this number in your speed dial. Have it memorized, right? 877-933-2484. Two things we're going to start out with. We always start out kind of with a topic of our own that we want to talk about for a little bit, and then we go to your questions. So the first one, I asked Doc what he wanted to talk about, and he said he's seen a surge of vertigo and dizziness. And wildly, Doc, the next day I heard of two people in my life who've been blindsided by vertigo. So we're going to talk about why is that? What is vertigo? And why are we all of a sudden seeing a surge of it? And then we're going to talk about the impact of carbs and sugar. And this is where you might want to put your fingers in your ears and sing a song if you don't want to hear about it. But specifically as it relates to candida, parasites, fungus in your gut, cancer, heart disease, we really ought to know the impact. Not to say all carbs are bad, but what is the impact of carbs? What is the impact of sugar? And what's a healthy perspective on it, right? A quick reminder, today's program, every time we have Dr. Troy on, we'll deal with general health questions. But for specific medical advice, always consult your physician and your personal health professionals. I have Dr. Troy on because we really always want to explore options and steps you can possibly take. But run things by your doctor, okay? A quick announcement. This is our last day of the month, a last chance to win a drawing of my new book, Closer Than Your Next Breath. Thanks to my publisher, they've offered 100 copies to give away. 100 copies. It's amazing. You can register to win at myfaithradio.com. All righty, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Sproul is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. Dr. Troy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. As always, love it.
Love and appreciate you so very much. All right, before we dig into some of our topics and the texts are coming in as well, what's God been talking about these days?
Well, I have a verse from Matthew, and it's 7:24. When we build a firm foundation of Christ, we can withstand whatever comes our way. A foundation based on God produces steadfast faith and life.
Wow, where's that?
That is... The foundation of what he's talking about is kind of along with the topic of what we're talking about, but this is kind of the spiritual perspective of dizziness. Mm-hmm. Dizziness is kind of like the where we don't quite feel grounded, we don't feel stable, and spiritually, when that's a problem, when stuff is just going on in our life, and when we don't have the foundation of Christ and the rock that we're building off of that, then we don't feel grounded. We don't feel stable. We don't feel good. So things can feel out of control. But when you have that foundation, even in the middle of a storm, you actually feel calm. You can feel grounded. You can feel stable. It's just you're rooted, and it's a completely different experience. And one of the things I've seen here recently, like you were saying, I have had an influx of dizziness and vertigo, and it can really, really impact people. And it, for one of my patients, it led to a good conversation about God and about Christ, because she was very strong. She was just a very solid, strong, capable individual, and she lost all of that after being dizzy for now 3 straight weeks she was. And so it just kind of rocked her world. And so she didn't have anything other than herself as her foundation. So it completely kind of destroyed her. She was this very, very capable executive type, you know, and she was just crying. She was just bawling. Wow. She needed a hug for any level of stability because of how upside down her whole world was.
I've had vertigo before. I've had bouts of it for 3 months straight with a wretched Lyme disease, so I know it so well. Yeah. Quick side note, I'm talking to Angie on live radio, but several of the texts just disappeared that were talking about places they needed to be healed. So they've just, oh, there they go. Okay, so sorry. I see. So some hopped to the top. Okay, hang with me. I just want to make sure I keep my eyes there. But it's interesting. Can you read that verse again? Do you have the reference by any chance where you got it from, or do you just have the verse?
I just have the verse.
Okay, that's okay. Why don't you read it again and we can look it up. But
when we build on a firm foundation, it's Matthew 7:24-29. Okay. When we build on a firm foundation of Christ, we can withstand whatever comes our way. A foundation based on God produces steadfast faith in life.
That is so good. And just last night, I feel like I have to say this for those who are listening today. I did a Facebook Live and I talked about it here as well. But I'm walking through a book called Soul Care by Dr. Rob Reamer. And we've had him on. We're going to have him on again. But just last night, I was reading about that whole idea, the biblical foundation. And one thing he said, you know, we always hear the truth sets you free. And he says, you know, there's absolute truth, but that doesn't, not everybody's free, right? In the context of what Jesus said, he's like, if you abide in my words, and if you hold fast to my truth, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So just saying the truth will set you free, that's not true exactly. You have to adhere to his word. And he said, when you do that, he said, you hold to the truth of who you are in Christ and that you're deeply loved by God. At the very moment, the lies are vying for position in your heart. He goes, that's how you build a foundation. And he used the example of he went and stood up on a stage to speak at this church, and it was a really shaky stage. It was really, really poor built. So every time he stepped, it shook and it thundered, and he was like, it was not steady. That's a foundation, he says, that's built on your own striving, your own idea of yourself, kind of trying to figure out on your own how you're going to figure things out, and the enemy, you know, projecting your fears into a future that God's not in, and all those things. But he said, the way that you imprint his love on your heart is foundational to your whole identity. I just feel like someone needs to hear that today, because I think it's no mistake you came with that passage, that he said it's not a once and done thing. It's an applied practice that when the lies are vying for position is exactly when you say, I'm deeply loved. God is good. He will make a way. You come up with a biblical narrative that's speaking to the truth that the lie is trying to come against you. And I just, any thoughts
on that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because the entire conversation is really getting people to get back to what is your identity in Christ for those that know. And then for those that have no idea or clue, it's a much bigger conversation.
Yeah.
It's such a big doorway. And so having those conversations is what we've been having. And we were just talking off air beforehand about, I had lunch with my our good friend, Dr. Tom Blee, and he was talking about just some of the conversations he's having in the hospital as well about their identity in Christ. And he was mentioning that there's a hunger for that.
To know.
Yeah, for
I
people.
Know.
Like the people that are even working at the hospital and stuff.
Wow.
So it's just, I don't know, God is just moving right
he
now.
He is.
It's just so good.
Come
right
on,
now.
Somebody.
Yes,
he
I know
is. He
the
is.
The world is chaotic. There's a lot of dizziness. Yes. There's a lot of all that. Mm. And God is saying, not on my watch. I've got this. And he's just bringing more people to him because of that. I have a front row seat.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Yeah, so good. And the reason I think that's such an important, you know, this is such an important moment, friends, is because the enemy is coming in like a flood. But when he does, the Lord raises up a standard against him. And I think God's allowing a lot of this stirring. Yes, the enemy's poking at your vulnerable, unhealed areas. But God is allowing this overplayed enemy attack to position you for freedom. I think it's super important to know he wants you free. He wants you healed. He wants you whole. So he wants you to work with him, because your hope in God will save your soul. It will change everything.
Yes. Yeah. So all this, the suffering that these people are going through has been just a blessing and opportunity because of what it's leading to.
Wow, so good. We got just a couple minutes before break, but have you identified physiologically why all of a sudden all the vertigo?
Well, that's the weird thing. It's not just one thing. So with one person, It was a cervical instability thing where all of a sudden their ligaments became very lax. And so the neck itself, we had to refer him for what's called prolotherapy. Mm. There's two doctors in town in particular that I've referred to for the last 25 years, do a great job. But so they needed some cervical stability. And other people, one was a tooth infection, one was a vascular issue. So it could be still things like there is a little bit of a surge with COVID and some, you know, some of the spike proteins there that are causing more vascular issues. It also, one of the people, it was an allergy. It was just an allergy that got a little bit out of control. They didn't get the normal stuffed up stuff, but they got like fluid in their head and in their ears. It is warmer as well. And so the change from heat to air conditioning has caused some people to actually get some blood pressure issues.
Interesting.
And so, and digestion, of course, always is an issue. Sugar, the ileocecal valve, and inflammatory stuff in the bowels and having bowel issues. End of summer, we tend to see people have now eaten stuff that they shouldn't have and having challenges.
Can
with
you
that.
Say the Minnesota State Fair? And Minnesota I mean, I know State we've Fair. Got people listening from all over the world, but there's a lot of fried foods at the local state fair.
Yes.
Just saying.
Yes, yes, I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, someone once said. Anyway,
yes.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about carbs, sugar, and then I see quite a few texts that have come in and we'll start talking about those. We love you so much. We appreciate you. I want you to have hope. I want you to have hope. Because healing is on the horizon, one way or another. If you follow Jesus, you're following a healer. And you may get full healing in this life, but if not, you'll get the full healing in the next. But every step towards healing matters. We'll be back in a minute. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I don't know about you, but I love consistent nourishment. I love to fast on occasion. There's a purpose in that. But if you go too long without eating on a regular basis because you're too busy, your body actually goes into crisis mode. Well, in the same way, your soul, your spirit, they need nourishment too. And that's why it's so important to be listening to scripture, listening to good teaching on a consistent basis throughout the day. That's why we're here. We love what we do, and we want to do it with you. If you listen on the radio, on the terrestrial signal, we encourage you, download our free Faith Radio app. That way, if you're traveling this season, you can take us with you wherever you go. You can catch the live shows or even the podcast after the fact. And we've made it easier than ever. All you have to do is text the word app to 877-933-2484 and then click the link. I hope you will walk with us on this journey. Greater things are yet to be done in and all around us because God, well, He's on the move. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. It's one of my favorite days of the month when we get to have our good friend Dr. Troy Spurrell on the show. He's CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Minnesota, Eagan, Minnesota. But we've got listeners from around the world. I do know that. Every month we have him on to talk about health and the healing process. And we always want to offer this caveat. Always seek guidance from your local, your doctor, your professional. But this is such an important conversation every month because we want to give you a fresh look at the impact of nutrition on your health, how you manage stress, that you get to bed on time. And there's just sometimes really unique approaches to tackling some of your health challenges. Run them by your doctor, but I want you to just know that every step towards health and healing matters. So, I see these texts and we're going to get to them in a moment, but this is just with something so interesting is oftentimes when you hear about parasites, you think you traveled to a third world country or drank some bad water. And of course, those things or drink a bunch of lake water, I suppose you can. But sometimes what you told me, Doc, because I ended up battling one a few months ago and it took a long time to get rid of it, was I didn't travel anywhere third world country, but you said everybody has little parasites in their gut. And had gone through another stretch of not sleeping. And so it knocks your immune system down and then that thing can rear its head. And it was so clear that anytime I had any carbs, it undid me. But when I would starve it, I would practically fast from, I only had meat and some avocados and a few vegetables, everything would settle down. Well, I got through that, and then I can tell that my body's inflammation is coming way down, and I've always done better with a low-carb diet, but this is a very low-carb diet. But it's addressing candida issues now, and we're coming full circle here. Men can have candida as well, if you have a lot of antibiotic in your past and that kind of thing. But all that to say, one question is a low carb diet sustainable, or is it only something you should do for a little bit of time? And then after that, talk about the impact of carbs and sugar on our overall health. I know everybody has different tolerances. Some, you know, it really does affect them in a bad way, but just give me your thoughts.
Yeah. So the first thing is we actually need carbs. We need sugar. So it does get a bad rap for some of it. But the general rule of thumb is right now we're over consuming it. And so if you have a compromised system, then refined sugar becomes much, much more problematic. If you don't have a compromised system, then we're not really talking to you right now. If you overconsume the carbs, you can end up generating some level of obesity or
adult onset diabetes.
Diabetes or non-alcoholic fatty liver are the most common. And so triglycerides can go up, so even cardiovascular stuff. So for the most part, though, there's a pretty significant difference. You can sustain a low-carb diet for a long period of time. I know people that have been very, very healthy who have done it for over 30 years, but in a healthy way, not the old Atkins diet or anything like that. So you're still getting good complex carbs. You're getting good quality fats, and you're getting good lean protein for the most part. And so that's very, very viable, and that's something that a lot of people can do. We just consume more sugar. Every time you refine sugar, then it becomes even more dangerous. So if you're talking about complex sugars from whole food, different story. And just to speak to the amount of sugar, in 1905, the average American consumed just a couple pounds of sugar, 5 pounds of sugar a year. Fast forward to 2010, and the average American is consuming 150 pounds of sugar a year. That's a significant change.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of extra inflammatory stuff that happens with that. So a lot of people will go low carb and they'll feel better, and they may or may not have parasites, but they'll have the inflammation reduction, which then just helps your entire immune system respond. But parasites really, really tend to feed off the pH of the system, the inflammation. So they like a more chaotic inflammatory system for the most part. And when it gets a little too crazy for them, a lot of them go into a cystic form. So they hide very well.
And isn't that disgusting when you think about it, friends?
Yes.
Just saying.
Well, you see the pictures, right?
Do you have those in your wallet too?
Don't send me any parasite pictures. I've seen plenty.
That's so right. He names them.
No I'm stool pictures and no parasite pictures. We've gotten plenty. The other side of that is a lot of the anti-parasitics work better in an actual fasting state or lack of sugar state. So we see a lot more effectiveness when people are not consuming the extra sugars and they're actually fasting.
And I've heard that, you know, excess, especially, you know, let's make the distinction, refined versus complex carbs. Complex, give me some examples, like would be quinoa.
Quinoa, whole grains, basically, grains.
And apples.
Apples and like fruit in their whole form.
Yeah.
But like a fruit juice, you are breaking it up and the sugar is no longer bound to the fiber. So then the sugar releases into your system much, much faster. Instead of when it's still bound to the fiber and you digest it, it breaks off slowly over a couple hours. Mm. So you're getting a sugar spike over a couple hours or a sugar release slowly over a couple hours versus a sugar spike of absorbing all of it in the first 10, 15 minutes. Mm.
So I've read different articles about how excessive refined sugar can cause cancer because it's putting your body in an inflammatory state, but it can wreak all kinds of havoc, cause potentially heart disease. Is that right?
Yeah, because of the inflammation. So because of twofold. So it definitely causes inflammation. And a lot of people will argue, say, well, sugar doesn't cause cancer. It causes the problems that can lead to cancer.
Mm. Creates an atmosphere.
It creates an atmosphere. Yeah. That's right. And so if you are consuming sugar and you've got all the inflammation, then that basically is kind of like your cells being on fire a little bit. So they become less efficient, less functional. They can't detoxify the inside of the cell. If the inside of the cell becomes acidic or the pH changes, that affects your DNA. That alters the expression of your DNA and your self-protecting mechanisms. And so the oncogenes or the genetic expression starts to change. So the bottom line is if you feed fungus or bad bacteria and they release an acid, which most of them do, that gets in excess, then you can damage the mitochondria, which is what protects your DNA. The way they actually test for mitochondrial myopathies or mitochondrial disease is in the labs, because this is what I was going to do with my career until I changed it. But they would drop fumaric acid on the mitochondria and then start their studies to see, okay, what can we do to fix this? Well, fumaric acid comes from candida, from fungal. So that they were getting the acid from fungal sources. They were growing that in the lab, then using that acid to drip on the mitochondria to actually then test the mitochondria.
Okay, so two questions, and we'll start taking text. Okay, signs that someone may have candida, signs that someone may have a parasite.
May have candida if you crave sugar, may have a parasite if you crave sugar. Parasites are unique. So there's cysts and there's worms, not to be too graphic, but sometimes when you have a worm, you eat a lot and you don't gain weight. Sometimes when you have parasites, you eat and then you get bloated long afterwards when the parasite or the fungus consumes what you've eaten, and then they excrete the byproducts of what they've eaten. So they'll eat the sugar and then kind of dump the acids, and then that causes some of the bloating stuff. Also, and the craving's a big deal, if you start to develop lethargy or foggy brain, those are both signs of both parasite and candida. There's a lot of overlap between the two of them. Parasites are much harder to test for and to identify and find, although you can do it with some stool studies. But one of the ones for the eventually for the candida is like pain syndromes too. So even like fibromyalgia and things of that nature. So
So lethargy, fatigue, a kind of a sense of feeling inflamed, you know?
Yep. Like toenails and fingernails that will start to become discolored. Because you start to have like some numbness and tingling and or lack of blood flow.
Wow.
And lymphatic congestion. So,
and yeast infections too. Like if you overdo like a dessert, if you have dessert and all of a sudden you go right to a yeast infection, you've already got a high load in your body.
Yep. Yeah. And right? That can even in the gums to the teeth. When it's in your intestinal tract, your teeth can become sensitive to cold sometimes.
Interesting.
So that's another unique one.
Fantastic. Wow. Yeah. Okay. I hope that was helpful. Okay. Just got a couple minutes before the bottom of the hour break, and we're going to breeze through these, Doc, because we've got quite a few. Dr. Troy, a 60-year-old friend of ours, has been suffering for 6 months with what recently has been diagnosed as restless abdomen and proprio-spinal myoclonus, like at sleep onset, an unusual overlap syndrome that presents with the occurrence of involuntary jerks involving at first the axial muscles, rectus abdominal muscles, thoracic lumbar, paraspinalis muscles, followed by varying delays. His doctors believe his condition is extremely rare, yet have no treatment plan. Our friend also has no record of family history from his biological father's side.
Yeah, so the first thing I think of with that, I actually had a case of that years ago. It was a teenager, and that ended up being an osteomyelitis case, which was an infection in the bone. So I'm assuming they've done the MRI and the actual imaging of that. But for me, I would look at what has set off that scenario. And so I'm going to throw out a few things because you have to find out what's the triggering mechanism. There's definitely a sleep disorder involved there. But something set that off. I will just say that we have found back antibiotic-resistant strep in the gut as one of the prime causes for scenarios like that.
Wow.
You can't take to the bank that that's what it's going to be. But they'll call it something like PAN syndrome or PANDAS syndrome. And that's where I'd start to go looking at is like antibiotics against strep. Bacteria, I'd look and do a stool study. I'd look to see if there's some form of hidden inflammation or infection that triggered the entire process and then rehab the neuromuscular system afterwards.
Interesting. All right. When we come back, we'll answer the question about what's a good supplement for gout that this dear husband of hers gets it twice a year. Cherry juice. I know that's a good one, but I'm sure Dr. Troy has something
tart
better.
Tart
cherry juice. That's what I was going to say. It wasn't, but it's good that you know that now. We'll be back in a minute. hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Our good friend, Dr. Troy Sproul, joins me in studio today. He's on every month to talk about health and the healing process. And always a reminder, check with your doctor before you make any significant changes to your health plan. But we're here because every step towards healing matters. We've been talking a little bit about the impact of sugar and carbs and a balanced approach to that, talking about this upsurge of vertigo that Dr. Troy's seeing that we're hearing a lot about, and just varying reasons behind that. Now we're going to whip through as many questions as we can. And this one I love especially because it starts with, hi, docs, plural. let's let that in for a minute. Angie's shaking her head. But anyway, says, I have a question. What is a good supplement for gout? Her husband gets it twice a year. And then she said, this might be questionable, but should we have ivermectin for the COVID flu season? Thank you.
So I'll answer the last part of that first. Yes, definitely have ivermectin on hand for the COVID flu season. We used it very effectively all through COVID. So it's definitely a good recommendation. It's been very effective. As far as the gout, gout is because of uric acid. And so I actually love this question for other reasons, many reasons, because uric acid, we've also seen a huge spike in uric acid. So I want to spend just 60 seconds talking about that. What drives uric acid is fructose. So too much fruit sugar or mild dehydration or too much sugar will drive up uric acid. Uric acid, when it gets above a certain amount, will cause gout. But gout is basically when the crystals of uric acid get caught in the peripheral tissue of the toes, stuff like that. So you get this big red swollen toe or your foot or ankle. It's super painful. You can't walk on it. And it usually lasts anywhere from a week to 2 weeks. For some people, it's longer. But what they have just come out with in the last 6 months is research showing that uric acid is one of the main contributors for early onset Alzheimer's,
wow,
too.
Wow.
So picture it this way. You have one of those uric acid crystals. Instead of it getting stuck in your foot causing the red swollen gout, it gets stuck in the blood vessels of the brain.
Whoa.
So
wow.
Then you end up getting the red swollen part of the brain, which of course is going to cause an inflammatory reaction, memory issues, things like that. So to answer your question, I have my favorite product, and I know we're not supposed to mention companies or anything, but it's the only one on the market. So Orthomolecular has a product called UAX Pro. So Uric Acid X Pro, and it's got tart cherry in there. It's quercetin in there. It's got vitamin C. So vitamin C helps push uric acid out of the actual body through the kidneys. The tart cherry and quercetin help block what's called xanthine from the conversion into uric acid. So it hits it at three different levels. And then, of course, the big thing when it comes to gout is making sure no fructose, no sugar, and alcohol. Those are the big three things that drive the process. And then one of the hidden ones is mild dehydration, not severe dehydration, but mild dehydration with carbs, so potato chips. So a lot of my bad gout people who don't drink alcohol or even consume a lot of sugar, they're chippies. They like their chips. And salt and vinegar chips, which happens to be my favorite, and that is one of my things I had to kind of
decrease. That causes a little dehydration?
Well, the salt on it does.
Oh, okay.
So the salt with the carbs ends up causing a net
mild
increase.
Got
and so, and most people can only put up, can only manage a certain amount of fructose. So you can't, you have to eat more vegetables than fruit. I'm going to say it that way. So a lot of times in the summertime, people really think they're doing well. I had one person who was doing 12 servings a day of fruit and vegetables. When I asked them, got into the details, they're doing 12 servings of fruit.
Oof.
And their uric acid was through the roof.
Wow.
And so I said, we've got to cut back on your fruit. We need to replace it with veggies.
So the UAX Pro is for the people who battle gout. Who should take that? And it's not like a daily supplement. Is it more about...
It's just to get the uric acid down so people...
So when you've had panels that show that,
yes,
maybe.
And so if your husband's had blood work, if it's above 7 or 8, that's usually when gout really manifests. But the research for the memory loss occurs above 5. So we uric acid levels of 5. So we really want your uric acid to go down. Usually you have to take that product for 2 weeks to 3 months to drive it down, and then you're good for about 6 months to a year. The medications for gout will also do the same thing. But for me, I like to go natural. Yes.
Yeah. The more preventive.
But it works. I mean, when you're in severe pain, you just want it to be done. Gout is extraordinarily painful.
Wow. Bless you, dear one. This dear soul says, what needs, because I asked at the open of the show, what most needs healing in you, your life, your story? She said, my self-image, seeing myself as God does. And I want to just tell you, Gwen, I did a Facebook Live today on Facebook, my big Facebook page. It says, ask God for a fresh revelation of his love. And that's a lot about identity. I think it might encourage you. But, Doc, did you want to say anything to Gwen?
Well, this is really, really important because self-condemnation is something that we do have complete control over, but it can be very reflexive. And when you go through life, we're constantly being pulled at, and we're serving others. And so if you have a gift and a servant's heart, it can be great until it's not. And then all of a sudden you beat yourself up for the imperfections. You get lost in it. Right. So it's very, very important. And I teach this at the clinic in our mindset class because men and women can be very different. A lot of times women will look in a mirror and they'll pick themselves apart. They'll look at the two or three things that they just don't like, and that's what they focus on. And guys will look in the mirror and they've got this beer gut and they'll say, not too shabby. And so
a 10.
Yes. And so neither's right. But so we have to be realistic to a certain degree, guys especially. But we also can't get into self-condemnation mode because we have to accept our imperfections because that's what allows us to have complete gratitude to Christ for covering this.
Yeah.
For just, it's the blood of Christ that makes us who we are in heaven. And so to allow us to get in there, it's just, it just leads to gratitude. So it's one of those things where we want you to embrace your imperfection, embrace your mistakes, because it'll lead to complete gratitude for
Christ.
And
dependence on God.
And dependence on God, exactly
so good.
Right.
This dear one says they need healing in health, emotional, and spiritual. Well, you've come to the right place because every day we try to address that. These things one way or another. And as at the open of the show, if you miss the open, once the live show's over, go back and listen again, because we are talking about how to imprint God's love in your heart, because that's where your identity comes from. That's where your stability comes from. We were talking about a firm foundation. It is Jesus. It's the love of God. But it doesn't just happen by you kind of giving a cognitive assent to, yep, God loves me. It's imprinting it on your heart to the point where it becomes so true to you, it's more true than anything else. Mary said she needs lungs, healing from lungs and RA. We just pray God would bless you and heal you. This dear one says they need healing, and bits of unforgiveness and bitterness still creep in towards their ex and how it all ended, patience in the waiting for this and more. I wonder if this dear man, if you have anything you want to say to him.
Well, I want to speak to the RA first.
Okay.
Yeah, just one quick thing, because we were talking about parasites, but many, many times our good friend, Dr. Jill, has found, and I have found as well, that most of RA comes from a parasite called Bartonella, a co-infection of the Lyme.
Oh, wow.
And so there is a lot you can do for that. So, and mycoplasma in particular can affect the lungs. So there's just, that just kind of...
Those tie together then.
They tie together.
Where should they go for labs that would make some revelation?
Well, there's a great lab in town here that comes from Germany, but it's called Infecto Lab. And so they do a great job of assessing that. And so it's finding a doctor who can do that. And I literally just today, I spoke with Rupa Labs, which is a national lab company, about onboarding Infecto Lab. And so I believe as we sit here, they're actually having that conversation.
Wow.
Help make the connection there. So Infecto Lab, though, does the best job at measuring that.
Is why we have you on here, because it's like, who would have ever thought that RA and lung issues would be somehow tied together? But when you hear that and you get fresh eyes and fresh ears on it, suddenly, you know. So
absolutely.
If you can find that connection, if it's there and you start to treat it, you may gain some ground and be amazed. So don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. So this dear soul, he's battling some bits of unforgiveness and bitterness that still creeps in towards the ex and how it all ended. Patience in the waiting.
Yeah. So again, we speak to this, and I have a mindset class because our mindset can get in the way of healing. And the one slide I have that's true in 30 years of working with people is that healing begins after forgiveness. If you have unforgiveness, it will block a healing. And so one of the things I learned is that when God forgives, it's as if it never happened. And we know if we've gotten to that heart level, like you were talking about, if we've gotten to that deeper level of forgiveness, you can tell based on how you talk about that person afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
When you have nothing but love for the ex or nothing but empathy for the X, that's when you know you're there. And so you pour into God, you completely plead the blood of Jesus, and you forgive as if it never happened, that there wasn't even a wronging that had been done. That's true forgiveness. When you get to that level, just watch the miracles that happen.
That's
at a cellular level. Just watch what takes over.
Yeah.
And a lot of things. There's a downstream effect that happens with that.
Mm.
And so leading with that, it's easy to say. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
But just know that it's possible, and you can do the same thing over and over. And then all of a sudden one day, it happens.
And the thing is, you need to know you can't change a heart, but God can.
Yes.
So by you getting to that point as if, you know, I mean, getting to that point of full healing, you're not saying it doesn't matter. You're putting it in the hands of the person, the one God, who can, right, do
yes.
something about it. I was on an interview yesterday, and the host was praying for me, and she said something. She said, you know, Jesus didn't just die for you. He died as you. And that, you know, that's just, you got to stop and think about that, because it's like when we hold their list in our hands, we forget he died for us and as us, because there was enough in me to put him on the cross as well, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, there's been a number of texts in here on abandonment and rejection. And I think in shows past, we've talked about it before, but what are the physiological implications of someone who's living in their soul and in their cells with a sense of abandonment or rejection that's not resolved in the light of God's love?
Well, especially with rejection, both of them are forms of rejection, but the cells literally fold up on themselves like a frightened child. So if you're a frightened child and you're feeling alone, your cells literally fold up. So even if you're eating the perfect diet, you're not getting the nutrients into the cells. And so again, it's the same answer we just gave before. Because the solution is God, only God. And so you go to God because you are loved by our Father. And so it undoes all abandonment. But there is a cellular memory. There is a cellular consequence, a physical consequence to that. That's why it feels so heavy. That's why it feels so hurtful. And so just know, again, that as you surrender that and give that to God and then have gratitude for the love that God has for you, you don't feel abandoned. You'll get there to that place.
Yep.
Same exact thing, same exact scenario, or same concept, I should say. So, it's a horrible place to be. And when I'm talking with patients, I like to give pictures and analogies, and I say it's like climbing a mountain. And there's a different path up the mountain for every single person. And sometimes you slide back down, and sometimes it can feel so exhausting. And you look back, and you feel like you haven't made it anywhere, and you're in the darkness of a valley, but there's only one thing that cures darkness, and that's light. So you have to keep going, and God will light that path. And when you get to the next peak, things will be shining. You can see, holy smokes, I've really made some gains here. I'm really in a different place. And so we want to keep striving for that climb, keep getting up that mountain. And people sometimes, unfortunately, stay in the darkness of their valley and just focus on how dark and lonely it is versus knowing that there is light if they keep going.
Oh, so good. Again, that's one of the things I said on a recent live that I did, that, you know, a sure way to stay in the ditch is to amass all your sorrows and sit in them. To where you start, that's what the Israelites did, where you're counting it, you're rehearsing all of them. You're reaching way back in years past, putting them all together in present day narrative and saying, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. And, you know, I joked when Angie and I were on yesterday talking about the Closer book, like David, imagine if he would have showed up to face Goliath and he said to Saul, do you know how much trauma I've had in my life? I mean, who in their lifetime is both attacked by a bear and a lion? That's a lot of trauma. But he didn't say that. He said, I've faced off with the bear and the lion and I won. So I'm up to this challenge. In other words, he resolved those things in light of God's love because he was a man after God's own heart. It's not to diminish your trauma. It's to say, don't let these open loops linger in your soul. Because they're going to tempt you to accuse God. But if you can resolve them to go, I'm still standing. Wait a minute. I've faced off with that stuff. I'm still standing. And then you, like you said, you get to a place of gratitude then.
Well, and in that exact analogy, God equipped David. So it was the challenges in David's life that equipped him to take on Goliath. And this is the same thing. Your Goliath is that mountain in front of you. And when David saw Goliath, it was different than the Israelites. The Israelites looked at Goliath and said, he's so big, how can we win?
Mm-hmm.
And David, who's been dealing with a slingshot and lions and tigers, bears,
yeah,
all the animals, he could hit a branch from a thousand yards away. And when David saw Goliath, he said, he's so big, how can I miss?
Exactly.
That's the exact same thing when we're climbing our mountain, our Goliath. It may be big, but it's so big, how can we miss? God has equipped you. And so we just have to seek God.
Mm-hmm. Which goes back, you know, full circle to what we were beginning with, that these are opportunities to imprint a new narrative on your heart. Because everybody, all of us have certain things that are breaking our heart where, you know, we wish they were different maybe in our lives. And the enemy wants you to frame a narrative that accuses God and leaves you hopeless and helpless. But God has a redemptive narrative, something you can tell yourself that is full of truth that you imprint on your heart every time the lie comes knocking at your door. And it could be something like Ann Voskamp's narrative is, God is always good, and I am always loved. That's hers. One of them that I say all the time is, God is good, His promises are true, and He will always make a way for me. If you feel rejected and abandoned, you know, I'm cherished, I'm loved, I'm seated with Christ, all will be well. Ask God to give you a redemptive narrative. So when you look at your trials, you're seeing it through the eyes of Christ, and you can realize this stuff may have happened to me, but it doesn't speak to who I am because God's already done that. And then you rise up out of the ashes, like Troy said, and you keep climbing the mountain. Okay, when we come back, we'll tackle a few more questions. And I just want you to know, after the live show, Dr. Troy and I are heading into the second studio, a next studio next door here, to take these questions that we didn't get to and a bunch of others from last show, and we're just going to plow through, and we're going to do a whole show on leftover questions. So one way or another, we're going to get answers to you. We'll be back in a minute. Do you think of yourself as courageous? A world changer even? Well, maybe fear rules the day, keeps you from identifying in this way. But when you step out in faith and you decide to take action in the moment, living this day in light of that day of eternity, you literally change the world. Susie Larson Live is part of a listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. This content is only available because of your support. The impact on lives, the reach around the world happens because you stood up to make a difference. Now is your time if you've not called in yet. Take the next step. Be bold by joining the support team now. We can't do this without you, and we absolutely wouldn't want to. You can click the link in the show notes or go directly to myfaithradio.com. Myfaithradio.com. Let's reach the world together for Jesus. He's the hope of the earth. He's the one who changes lives for all eternity. God bless you. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Got our good friend Dr. Troy Sproul on the show today. He joins us every month. He's CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He's here every month to talk about health and the healing process. We have so many questions on the text line that we're doing our best to get through them. But as I said, after the live show, we're going to head to the next studio and cover as many of these as we can. Fill up another whole show easily. Troy, all right, here's one for you. Son needs healing from crippling anxiety. He knows and trusts God and his plan, but his anxiety has a tight grip on him right now. I just want to say, for one thing, as brutal as that is, you're not alone, because it's epidemic right now. Mm-hmm. And what do you say, sir?
Yes, from a physical perspective, a flesh perspective, we're seeing a lot of this right now. And there's just a whole bunch of things to look at. So you may be surprised at some of the things that can just be the tipping point for anxiety. I'm going to go through some of them. Inflammatory foods, especially gluten, dairy, and sugars.
And corn even.
Corn can be for some people. We see like screen time and the stimulus from the phones and the screen time. So cutting out that completely, if there's cell towers or EMF type sensitivities, that can be an issue as well. We also see problems with low-grade infections in the gut, imbalances that way. Concussions can cause it. Caffeine cannot be consumed if you have anxiety. Mm. And so there shouldn't be any coffee there. But we want to make sure we're getting good sleep. There's a sleep disorder called upper airway resistance syndrome we've talked about many times that can also trigger it, and they're not getting restored. So there's something triggering it. There always is, and there's just sometimes a lot of things you have to do. Sometimes just one major one. So the easy thing over the air is to encourage you to just pull out and just do pull out the foods that might be inflammatory and just really eat clean with fresh fruit, vegetables, and protein, and pulling out the gluten, dairy, and sugar, and see how that works.
Yeah, I want to just say I've got a loved one. I've mentioned this before that had massive issues until she cut out grains. Yeah. Corn is specifically the culprit, but any grains cause anxiety for her. And that's, you know, and so corn is sometimes, or grains, or gluten, you know. So, I mean, just if you could maybe try to talk with him about how bad this feels. Nothing tastes as good as feeling good feels. If he'd be willing, if he's got a TV in his room, take it out. Yeah. And not punitive, just saying, we want to remove anything that's adding physiological stress to your body. Plug his phone in the bathroom or out in the kitchen. So just get that out of the way. Clean up his diet. And just see if that doesn't make a massive difference and cut down the sugar.
You will see changes within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it may not be all gone, but you'll see changes. And that's enough hope and encouraging enough usually for most people to can stay the course.
Mm, so good. Okay, this dear one has a lot of emojis. There's some of them are mad and sad, and he's crying, and I think laughing too, but maybe he's not laughing. Just turned 60, can't seem to lose weight. I really only need to lose 10 to 15 pounds, and I think there's like 15 smiley, or well, there are different kinds of faces. Just turned 60, can't seem to lose weight. Only need to lose 10 to 15 pounds. What say you?
Well, there's many reasons. There's eight for the most part, but usually if we are at 60, there's some level of insulin resistance. Mm. For guys, using the muscles helps quite a bit. So there's a lot of different things that can shut down metabolism. So that's a hard one to answer because we need to see, are they eating too much? A lot of times that's part of it too for guys where because you're not burning calories as efficiently, they tend to eat like they used to. And so smaller portions with plate sizes two meals a day or doing some intermittent fasting can help. If the insulin levels are good, I like to see insulin levels below 6 on labs. And so hemoglobin A1C closer to 5.2. The most common reason is insulin resistance. So sleep disorders can also cause that. So that's a sneaky one. If there's sleep apnea, if you snore, if you don't remember your dreams, sometimes you have to be assessed for that. And I've seen people just lose weight just by getting a CPAP or getting getting the airway treated properly. Mm. So just know that allergies and sensitivities where you have a congested sinus can also do it. Inflammation will cause weight gain as well. So kind of a tough one to answer without doing a full assessment, but those are some of the most common ones. SIBO and SIFO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, or bacterial probiotic usage can also help with some people.
You might have just because he wanted to enter into my world, fasted for gluten for a month, and I think he lost about 17 pounds.
Yeah.
He said he had more mental clarity than he ever had. And he's like, and Troy, you told him he doesn't have an intolerance, but he has a sensitivity. So he can eat it. It would double me right over. But it was just very enlightening. So it's worth that, you know, just and when you get to be 60, not always doing strength work and maybe getting cardio work. So what if you made some adjustments? Try to pull those things out of your diet, drink a lot of water, get to bed consistently, get some good workout in and see if that doesn't change things. But I'm no doctor, but I try to be. Okay. All right. Dr. Susie.
Oh, yeah, there she's got validated right away.
I know, yep. And Dr. Troy, I love you so much. Okay, here's the question. How do you feel about hemp seed hearts? I don't know anything, so I'll toss it to you.
I haven't really used it a lot, so I actually can't comment on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, don't know much about it. Okay.
Yeah, I was so hoping. That was such a
nice introduction.
Yeah, I know,
because it started out so well, you know. Yeah, so sorry. We'll have to do maybe a little digging here.
Yes.
Realize this one's an odd question, but could briefly talk about, I don't think this is odd at all, talk about the benefits or negative effects of using a vibration plate. I hear it helps with lymphatic circulation, muscle tone, bone density, restless legs, more. Is this true? Are there any cautions, or should certain people not use it? Thank you for advice. I do know people with Parkinson's shouldn't use it, but other than that, I think it's really good. I'm no doctor, but it's really good, right?
Yeah, it's excellent. Yeah, I love them. Some of them are very, very overpriced for what certain people need, but there's so much you can do with them that is beneficial. So I love plates. We have just smaller versions. I have one in my house that I use, and so I love the vibration plates. I love doing exercise on them. The vibration actually stimulates the peripheral, the ends of the muscles. And so the Golgi tendon organs and the different parts of the muscles get exercised that are a little bit better. It's like sprinting. Like when we were younger and we could sprint all the time, there's such an impact to the joints and to the muscles, and vibration plates do help with that quite a bit.
Boy. All right. Two favorite docs. Love that as well. We just got about a minute left here. I've been coughing my fool head off for a couple of weeks. It started when it was extra smoky, but I feel like there's also a lot of emotion attached. I asked God to search me, and I'm trying to cough out all those lies hiding in me. God bless you, Bev. Anything you want to say? You got 1 minute.
Emotion attached to lungs can be just overwhelmed, too much going on, kind of like a congestion type thing that we do see, or excessive worry about someone or something. When it comes to the air quality, that's been pretty common lately as well. So vitamin A and D and E help quite a bit with that. And then melatonin actually can help clear the lungs. They help, everyone knows it as a sleep aid, but it actually is an antioxidant that is very effective for the lungs. And so that can be done temporarily as well, just to help with that part of it. Also, anything that increases aerobic capacity and exercise can help the lungs. So deep breathing.
I was just going to say
and,
that.
And getting the actual lungs to expand and contract, and contract. And fasting, always fasting.
Wow, very good. So imagine, Bev, just lying down, taking deep breaths, filling that belly, holding the breath a little bit, and then exhaling 16 counts. That will ground you, especially if you're feeling exhausted. And then ask God for just a fresh revelation of his love and for him to show you what's hiding, what he wants to heal in you. And he gladly answers those questions. He'll lead you in the path of life. Thanks for tuning in today. We love and appreciate you. Pray you found some encouragement here. Remember, every step towards health and healing matters. Imagine what a more healed you might look like. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.